The following Khutbah, our sermon, was recorded Friday, May the 29th, 1998, at the Harvey Islamic Center in Harvey, Illinois. The teacher is Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Nasta'inuhu, nastaghfiruhu, wa nu'manu bihi azza wa jal. نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبعد. We praise God who created everything. We seek Him for assistance and help, aid, and we seek Him for forgiveness for our sins, for our faults, for our mistakes, for our shortcomings. We believe in Him and trust in Him. And we are loyal to Him. We do not break our trust or break our faith or our loyalty. We accept the Prophet Muhammad, who told us God is one and there is nothing to be worshipped with Him. We accept Him as the last of the prophets. The seal of the prophets mentioned in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the books of the Christians and the Jews, as the liberator mentioned in the Quran, God says of him, he is the one mentioned in the Torah and in the Gospel, in the Injil. And he will come, according to the prophecy of, in those scriptures, and break the bonds of slavery, take off the yokes that made the people subservient to other than God. And he will break the bonds of slavery, all the bonds of slavery, and free them from all forms of captivity. He will be an educator. He will be a liberator, liberating the people with the education that God provides, with the knowledge, the higher knowledge that God provides. And he will be a mercy. He will be a compassionate man. He will be a mercy to all the people. Rahmatan linnas. A mercy to all the people. And we are to see that mercy, we are to see that mercy in many forms. But most of all, we are to see that mercy in enlightenment that came with the Quran. With the Quran came enlightenment, higher knowledge, sciences, the higher sciences. And the higher sciences, the higher knowledge, enabled the society to serve humankind better, to protect the human life better, to give the human society more. So this is the great mercy of God, and Muhammad is the mercy of God. And every ayah of the Quran is a mercy from God to man. Every ayah is a mercy from God to man. The Quran begins with the words, with our God's name, the merciful benefactor, mercy in Ar-Rahman, the merciful redeemer, mercy in Ar-Rahim. So this is the way we should understand our religion. Our religion comes to make life better. Our religion comes to help people. Our religion comes to save people from mistreatment. Mistreatment that comes mainly from those who would dominate them as a god over them. And we have no god but God. And God says, and the worst form of oppression is shirk. And shirk means associating a god with a god, with the god. Making the god not one, but saying, this is also a god. Yes, there is a god who did all this, but Pharaoh is God. No, there's only one God. The one that did all this in the skies and in the earth. That's the only God. And that message liberates the people. That message liberates the human being in every aspect of his life. It frees his hands, it frees his feet, it frees his eyes, it frees his intelligence, it frees his heart, it frees the whole being so that he can get the best of the life that he finds himself with when he's born from his mother here on this earth. The best of that life, the best that life promises. And God says, Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar to Muhammad the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prayers and the peace be on him. He says, surely we have given you abundance in fulfillment of the scripture. The scripture prophesies that God would give abundance. Say, we want that you have life and have it abundantly. This is the old book that came before the Quran. We want that you have life and have it abundantly. And on the other hand, we are warned against giving ourselves to the appetite for abundance, that it will take us to the grave. الحاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر. The striving for the piling up of wealth will obsess you, take you over, and you won't have no control. You'll be under that power. You can't do anything but serve it until it takes you to the grave. Until it takes you to the grave. And we know the grave will be more than one grave. It'll be a grave of many graves. It's the grave of the human nature. That's what it is. It's the grave of the human nature. It'll take away your good human nature. It will rob you of your good human nature. And the scripture prophesies old scriptures that came before, and the Quran, if you understand it, prophesies of the beast of materialism. The beast of materialism. How he will be void of the human nature that God created. And all those who are influenced by him and come under his influences, follow him in his appetites, will be void of the human nature that God gave them. What God gives us is a message that is universal. Someone has come out with a book recently, a little small booklet. A good question is on the face of that book, on the cover of that book. It says, what is the origin of Muslims? That's the question. What is the origin of Muslims? That's a good question. Because Allah says in the Quran, in his book, highly glorified is he, revealing the light, says, say, I am the first of the Muslims. Awwalul Muslimin. First of the Muslims. Well, who is that? Who is the first of the Muslims? How can we understand that someone is the first of the Muslims? Abraham is the first of the Muslims. Yes, Prophet Abraham. Ibrahim. First of the Muslims. But were there any Muslims before Abraham? Let's see. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says also in his book that all the prophets were Muslims. Adam himself, the one we perceive to be our first, or understand to be our first parent on this earth, the beginning of mankind on the earth, a Muslim. According to the teachings of Islam, he's a Muslim. And everyone coming after him, all the prophets and messengers of God were Muslims. Then Muhammad the prophet goes so far as to say, everyone, Christian, Jew, monk, Sabian, whatever, white, black, red, green, blue, whatever color, everyone is born a Muslim. That's what Muhammad the prophet says. Prayers and peace be upon him. And it is the environment that he's put in that makes him different. Or the circumstances that he's given to that makes him different. But he's originally a Muslim. By nature, by creation. By virtue of the creation that God made him, created him in. He is Muslim. He is Muslim. So that's a good question on that little booklet. What is the origin of Muslims? Excellent question. I haven't read a single page of it, not even the under the cover. I just saw the caption, and that was enough for me. Later, when I get a chance, I'm going to read what he has in the contents. His name is Salim Najiullah. So we will see what later what Salim Najibullah has to say about that question. What is the origin of Muslim? The Quran is a book for all times. The Quran is a timeless book. It is a book for all times. If we were just beginning our life on this earth, and we could read the Quran in our language, in our native primitive language, the Quran would serve us to a T. If we could see what the year 2200 is going to bring, and there's going to be uninterrupted technological, scientific, social advancement. If that was the case, and we wanted to be prepared for the year, for that year, 2200, the Quran would fit us to a T. It's a timeless book. It's for all times, for all needs, for in all times, for all circumstances, under all times. Quran. I know what it did for me. I came to be curious in the mid-50s. And that curiosity followed me till now. I'm still curious. And the Quran made me lose interest in what I was taught before in the Temple of Islam. The Quran made me lose interest in my fascination with the fathers of socialism, more correctly, communism, Karl Marx and others. It just broke my fascination. The Quran broke every ban of slavery for me and freed me. But it didn't do it until I understood the role of Muhammad the Prophet in the Quran. When I saw him, then I looked at the Quran again. See, man can't see except with the help of man. And that's why God gave us men to help us to see his way and follow his path. Many of you had the Quran, and it didn't take you anywhere. And Allah says that this book will guide whomsoever Allah wills that it guides. And it will cause you to go astray whomsoever Allah wills to go astray. It's the Quran. And if you follow it with the wrong disposition toward it, it can help you, it can hurt you, it can destroy you. Yes. And that goes for any knowledge, really. But for the knowledge that God gives, the help is much greater. And if you invite the harm is much greater. Much greater. Praise be to Allah. The big help the world needs now is the help we needed when we were treated as inferiors in this country. What help we needed? We needed to know our equality. And we tried to know our equality. We need to know our equality. We believed it. We believed that God wouldn't make us inferior. Not a good God. We didn't believe a good God would make us inferior. And we believed that God had to be a good God. This was the teachings of our great African-American freedom fighters. That God is a just God. And he doesn't want this for us. Times will change. Help is coming. That was their message to us. They were kind of messengers themselves in a way. And they had so much strong, so faith was so strong in the future that it couldn't stay that way because God is against injustice, that they gave us the message and then promised us that it wouldn't stay that way. A change is coming. So they believed in the God and justice and injustice. And they set us in a position mentally, spiritually, and morally to succeed. But we made the mistake of getting opportunities in a free society and gone astray. If we had stayed in the spirit of those great messengers of truth and justice, we would have succeeded without all the setback and without all the trouble we're in now and have gotten ourselves in. Yes, we would have. Because they set our souls and our minds right to get more blessings from God. They were against racism. They were against racist teachings. They were suffering more than we are suffering now. We don't know their suffering. That is the extent to which they suffer. There's no situation for it, for us to see an example of that anymore in the world. So we don't know their suffering. In their suffering, which was much greater than ours, they didn't reverse racism. They didn't say, okay, you say we are black and inferior. Okay, you are white and inferior. That was not in their soul. That was not in their hearts. That was not in them to do that. It was in them to see God's justice. It was in them to see man's equality. It was in them to accept that the human family, all the races taken together, makes up the human family. That all of us just belong to the family of man. It was in them to see that. And they were successful. How do I know they were successful? Because I'm here. And I'm free. And they said I would be free. And they died and suffered so I would be free. I know they were successful. So what's wrong with you? The whole world now is in need of seeing the universal picture. The universal picture. Man began as a universal creation. Not as a regional creation, not as a national creation. He began as a universal creation. So universal that the great thinkers call that creation a cosmic creation or a cosmic existence. Meaning that that creature was the child of not just the earth, although he was finally formed of the earth, that creature was not the child of just the earth, that creature was the child of the universe. That he was born in the universe and of the universe. The skies, the earth, and everything. And you think the Quran says differently? Allah says, see how he provides for you your needs from the skies and from the earth? So if I'm being sustained from the skies and from the earth, then I'm the product not only of the earth, but of the skies and the earth. No wonder man has a desire to venture out and explore the stars, the regions of the skies. The whole thing is his home. I'm not saying any big thing. I'm saying only what God has said already in the Quran and what Muhammad taught, the prophet, the man I serve and walk behind. Yes. I try to follow in his footsteps. And I try to conform to what he conformed to. And I try to love what he loved. And I ask God to help me hate what he hated. Praise be to Allah. the universal creature, cosmic being, the universal creature, the Muslim. And then the teachings of Islam, the great teachers have taught us that not only are we Muslim, but the stars are Muslims. In the sky, the stars are Muslims. And God says in the Quran, every creature has his mode of salat. Would God give salat to something that is not a Muslim? Every creature has his mode of salat. And the human being has been given the highest mode of salat. And he has been created in the highest, the most excellent of forms. خَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ التَّقْوِيمِ. And we have definitely created the human being in the most excellent mode. That means the angel's mode is not as excellent as ours. Not his mode. His service maybe, but not his mode. We are in the most excellent mode. So if you want to be a creature in some form for God's worship or for his service, as a human being, I can't see myself choosing to be in any other form than human. But in this human form, in this human mode, there's great risk. The roach can't come out of the roach mold. So he can only incur so much wrath and no more. He will stay a roach. His sins won't make him other than a roach. But we have been given freedom to come out of the mold that God put us in. So we don't have to stay a human. We can become snot, rats, hyenas. I ran into a few too this week. Hyenas, anything, pigs, whatever, anything. We can become a combination. We can become a composite slime freak, made up of many different slime freaks, you know, all into one. Having a dripping snout on this side of the head and a horn on this side with a narrow mouth, you know? Yes, we can become whatever we choose to be. So the risk is much greater. Oh, look how great the risk. If we don't serve God, oh, the risk is so great. But if we serve God, look how great the reward. We'll be rewarded over all the creatures that he have made. He will rise up above all the creatures that he made. And we'll become the vicegerent, the Khalifa. Serving God in creation. Our service will be through creation. We'll be serving God in creation. God doesn't want anything from us where he is. He says nothing that you offer him can get to him except your obedience, your sincerity, your goodness, your purity, your taqwa. Nothing can get to him except that. Praise be to Allah. To establish the private interest upon the universal interest is the answer. So to have that, you have to return to the universal interest. God didn't create the first man so the first man would occupy the United States of America. God created the first man so the first man would occupy the universe. The universe. So where is the first man now? He's speaking. He's sitting on the floor. He's everywhere. Human beings are. That's where he is. He has multiplied. over the many centuries and the generations. He has multiplied into all the many that we have on this earth that numbers about 5 billion. That's where he is. That's where the first man is. So everywhere you find a man descended from that first man, you find a man with the inherent rights to the universe. Not just the United States of America, to the universe. Now how are we going to pursue those rights if we don't pursue them together? Now I'm talking about universal rights. That's stretching the imagination. Let's come home to Earth. Global rights. That's where we are now. Global rights. Man has to have global rights now because the Earth has become a functional community that is global. The essential functions of our community in the United States are tied to the functions of people globally. I can't even eat my food now without buying something from somewhere else. I'm wearing the clothes made in another country. Yes, you are too, most likely. Wearing the shoes made in another country, man, the shirts made in another country, pants, underclothes made in another country by other people. Somebody had to have an intelligent relationship with those people to get these things over here. So the world is all connected now. We're connected. Isn't that what the scripture promised? God will narrow the borders. Close the borders out. Remove borders. Wipe them out. And connect things. Connect lands and people. This is scripture. You bring the mountains low. This is scripture. The high up gonna have to come down from the uppity. This is scripture. And this is what we see the world is asking for today, demanding. And this is exactly what we had in our hearts as a need when we were free from slavery in the South. That was a need in our heart because we had been excluded. Our need was to connect with others so that we would have benefits from others, because they had everything. We had nothing but past slavery in our past. A little of nothing, hardly anything. As a people, we were naked and out of doors. As a people, naked and out of doors. With no table, let's mention some food on it. No table. No kitchen, no nothing. We ourselves have just been released as the property of another man that he kept just to do work for him, servile work mostly, so that he could get material benefits with little or no labor on his part. And then the property is free now. Yesterday I was property, today I'm free. Where is my property? 40 acres and a mule. Never got it. Didn't get it concretely. You got it symbolically. The 40 acres, your freedom. The mule is a condition of your mind according to your slave master's perception at that time. So now I won't be bossing your mind. You got it yourself, buddy, buddy. Take your mule and go. And let me see how you're going to fare with that mule and your freedom. Well, the purpose of my talk today is not just to you African Americans. My my race, but to all people on this planet, especially those who have come under other powers, foreign powers, and lost the establishment, or lost the freedom to pursue their establishment. I'm talking mainly about African people who were enslaved. But I'm also talking about people who have been colonized. And they too were under the same slave master, Western supremacy, white supremacy. They were under the same slave master. The Muslim world has been under the same slave master.
Right.
Yes, white supremacy. Just recently in the history of America, nations like Egypt, Pakistan, and a few others came into their independence. And many others, I shouldn't say a few others, many, when you count them, there are many. Independence from whom? Same slave master. A man who thought himself superior just because he was white. Yes. You think the Asians have not known the arrogance of racism or the arrogance of the white races? They have known it. The Africans have known it. The Arabs have known it. All the people who came under their power have known and still know the arrogance of white supremacy and how cruel it can be, how cruel it was. They have known it. Muslims have been set back. They didn't lose the knowledge that they were Muslims. They didn't lose the knowledge like we did. We lost all the knowledge because no one to tell us, no parents to tell us, no history for us to read during those hard years as slaves here in America. Unless you were fortunate, like Ibn Said, who was a slave in this country, a Muslim by that name. Or like Frederick Douglass, who had a master who was kind and wanted to see, recognized that he was a brilliant youngster and wanted to see him educated. So he provided books for that, to serve that need. And Frederick Douglass became a very, very brilliant, learned person. And slavery had not been quite removed from the country, from the land.
Right.
And he was a brilliant orator. But those are the rare exceptions. The great majority didn't have those opportunities. And even Frederick Douglass would read from the situation or the condition that he was in. He was never in a situation or a condition to want to think that, or to think, or suspect that there's something that he's missing from Africa that he needs, or there's something missing in religion that his forefathers or ancestors had that he may need. He wasn't in a condition or situation to think that way. All he knew was what he was looking at. So all he could want or have an appetite for was what he knew. And that was America, the United States. But his progress as an intellect and as an orator and as a freedom fighter finally took him outside of the United States. Then he began to have a bigger appetite because he then knew more. He had more to select from. Universals, establishing ourselves upon universals. Before you say you're a black man, know what a man is. A man is something that is universal. Black is local. Adam was man, but I don't know if he was a Negro or not. I don't think he was a Negro, but he was a man. So something happened to take us away from Adam and give us to the Negro. And now the biggest burden on us is how to get back to Adam from the Negro. And once we do that, then we can put on our other clothes. But first get the clothes that God gave you when he put you in the garden. And he said it was the serpent, the Satan, that seduced your parents. Deceived them, tricked them, charmed them to follow him, and caused them to take off the clothes that they had originally been given from God. He caused them to slip out of their clothes of righteousness. To slip out of the clothing of righteousness. No wonder we were told that the real identity is a righteous Muslim. A righteous Muslim. I wish you all would say that now. With pride. Yes. Somebody asks you, what's your identity? Before you say, I'm a black man, with pride, say, I'm an original man. I'm a righteous Muslim. Then you will have your essential core life. Then you can put other things on it. And that strength will hold up whatever you put on. And it will shake off the things that are not correct, because its nature is against what is not righteous Muslim. So it will throw it off. And you can keep putting on and on and on and not fear that you will grow in more and more excellence. If you come back to the universal nature that God gave us, to the universal man that God created in the best of molds. We find that nations are losing their moral life, and they are seeking the global community for moral protection. So we have a demand now for global ethics, global decency, global ethics, global justice. That's the condition that's needed to protect my own private interests. God has brought that about. He has made man grow, multiply and grow so much that his growth and multiplying is spilling over into quarters he didn't know before, and forcing him to recognize the whole family of man and work together as a family of man so that better life can be had by all of us. This is the time. All right? This is what time it is, brothers. This is the time. Now, if you don't want to be with me in this time, goodbye, because I'm not going to be caught back there in the fire, because that's what's going to be back there, nothing but the hellfire. Come to grips with your best life, with your best senses, with your best intelligence, with your best desire. Fight, 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 fight. fight like mad against those things that are working against your good life. Start right in your own soul, fighting those things that work against the good thing that is in your soul. That good thing in your soul is you. That's part of your original nature. That's your salvation, the good thing that speaks out in your soul and deep inside of you that says that's not right. Or influence you to think that maybe you shouldn't do that, it's wrong. God says, and he created everything from water. Every living thing, that is. I have to correct it. God says he created every living thing from water. Listen. God says he created every living thing from water. So if anything is living, it needed water to live. That's what God is saying. It couldn't have life without water. That's what God said in the Quran, better than 14 centuries ago, revealed to Muhammad the man, best of the creation, Muhammad the man. And that's what science tells us now in the 20th century, that all living things must have water to have life. And you say, well, we need air too. That's right. But you can have life underwater, in water. Why? Because in water is also air, H2O, hydrogen and oxygen, two great elements of air that we need. And the oxygen is what we need the most. Put them in the combination God put them in, and you got water. And the child is born in the water. That's formed in the water and birthed out of the water. Right? Conceived and put in the water to be developed as a living thing. And then the water breaks and the child comes out of the water. Every life began and had its beginning in the water. And God says, and his throne, the throne of God, the rule of God, the throne of God was upon the water. Originally, upon the water. Did it stay there? No. He didn't intend for it to stay there. As man progresses, his throne is going to go from the water to the land and be both on water and on land. Yes, both on water and on land and water. And then God says in concluding of this khutbah, his throne extends over the skies and the earth, over the heavens and the earth. Allahu Akbar. نستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به عز وجل. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله رب العالمين. استغفر الله ربي من كل ذنب وأتوب إليه. Praise be to Allah. We seek Him for forgiveness and ask Him to remove from us all of our sins, all of our defects, all of our shortcomings. Ameen. The Muslim, in practice, is conscious of obedience to Allah. Conscious of his obedience to Allah. If he forgets to be conscious of his obedience to Allah, he loses his consciousness as a Muslim, and he becomes unconscious Muslim. And as God says that he began every living thing from water, the Muslim begins being conscious by going to the water. He wakes up and he goes to the water and he makes ablution, gets himself ready to make his prayers to his God. And he says, separate me and my shortcomings, as you have separated East and West. Yes, separated me and my shortcomings as you have separated East and West. He wants to be free from injury that he would get from his own shortcomings. And he says, clean, clean me of all my sins. Clean me of all my sins. As we wash white cloth clean with water. Cleanliness. Moral awareness. Awareness of moral life. The beginning of life. Muslims should pray for moral life. For moral excellence. For cleanliness. Cleanliness of body, cleanliness of thoughts, cleanliness of actions, cleanliness of perception. Clean my sense for perception. If you get that part of your life clean, then you'll have ethical life. Ethical life. Moral life progresses into ethical life. Praise be to Allah. So, the first thing to do before you strive to make more money, strive to be more morally correct. More morally correct. Striving to be more morally correct will put you in a good situation to succeed with business and wealth. Because it is the failure of those that God blessed to get wealth, it is their failure to perceive what is morally correct that eventually knocks the foundation off from under them and pushes them aside and open the way for another people to try their hand at it. So the conclusion of this khutbah is this. All the people who have come under white supremacy, whether because of skin color or because they were just too weak to deal with white supremacy, that's those who were colonized, victimized by colonialism. And among them is most of the Muslims on this earth today. We should think our whole existence on earth as a historic being. We should think it all over again. We should look at our existence in history and see what has contributed to our progress, what has contributed to our fall or our retrogression as people seeking progress. Or excellence in society. We should think that over. And we should say, well, we missed the boat once, but let's not miss it again. When did we miss the boat? As African Americans, we missed the boat when we stopped following the excellent tradition of our freedom fighters. That's when we missed the boat and went to racism and went to money and was blind to the excellence of human destiny. And what should we say as Muslims? Same thing. The Muslims of the world, we should get together and we should say, we missed the boat. We got our countries back from the colonizers. We got our resources back, our oil reserves back from the businessmen of the West, Amco and the rest of them. Aramco, pardon me. Aramco and the rest of them. So now we got it back. Okay, we got it back, and we missed the boat. We didn't look at ourselves and say, we need to have a new start. A new start for what we are as a human creation. Now, what has the world that was dominating us taken from us as a human creation intended for excellence by his God, his Lord? We are not going to copy those who dominated us. We have a chance for a new start. Let us set a better record. Let us establish a better record for our life and our treatment of others than those who possessed us yesterday, than those who dominated us with their will yesterday. Let us, today that we're free, plan a future that will be better than that, a future more human than that, a future more just than that. Let us work for the community of man as Muslims. God says that he created mankind, not one man, in the excellent mold and for the great destiny, the hereafter. Created all people for that. So shouldn't a Muslim, conscious of that, work to help all people realize that? With his voice, with his pen, with his life example, with his spending of money, he should be working to have a world like that.
Right.
Yes. So we have a chance to start all over again. So why don't we take the opportunity? It's still here. Finally, in the day of the global community, it's here again. The opportunity is here again for us to start all over again. So blacks and Muslims and all minorities can get together and look at themselves as human beings in history, study their life purpose on this earth, and say, hey, it was thinking now that punished the man and punished the mankind. Thinking now. Thinking broad will liberate the man and mankind.
Right.
So let us come out of our narrow identities and put more importance on the broader identity. How could the earth survive if the earth say, I don't care to be with the rest of these bodies in space? It'll get no sunshine. That'll be the finish. Wake up, it's not too late. It's time for us to wake up and join the universal man. The universal man. God says to Muhammad, and we have expanded for you your breasts. We have expanded for you your breasts. The Iblis, he's seen as a constricted man. He's straight up, narrow and straight up high. That's the Iblis. The Iblis. And he uses all his body to go up. Muhammad is the horizontal man. He extends his body out to embrace all people. Praise be to Allah. That's how we have to be. Open your hearts for the whole family of man. and whether you work locally or nationally or internationally, don't leave out of your concern your neighbor and the whole community of man. And Allah will be with you. Allah will aid you. You'll be very successful. Yes, you will. You'll be very successful. I'm speaking from my own experience. I'm speaking from experience, not just knowledge. I'm speaking from experience. Say, well, you ain't that successful, Brother Imam. We take care of you with the charity to your ministry. That's what you think. That's what you think. Allah takes care of me. With charity from many places everywhere. Yes? And the best charity is charity to my good human sensitivities and perception. God is very charitable to my good human sensitivities and my human perception. And as long as I have that, I'll be rich. Rich. Thank you very much. Inshallah, I'll see you again soon. Let us pray. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما